people said, well, just throw in the keys, it's okay. This, because one of these worldwide events, financial crisis happens, it's okay to throw in the keys. And I said, no, I see no reason. We're making our payments, we're doing everything, I'm carrying on. I'm one of the largest shareholders. And what makes a difference for me as an investor in other companies, and was something I always look for, every share that I own has been bought. I've received no bonuses in shares, no vend-ins, no free shares, zero. Everything's been bought. And you can see by the last private placement, or we did one on its own, it was the CFO and myself. At times we've gone without paychecks. Everyone else has been paid, and senior management has deferred payment because we've been in a tight spot. So I really am committed to making it work. And I rarely talk about it, but I demonstrate it all the time.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Steve Yang, here with my friend Robert Eadie, President and CEO of Starcore International Mines. Robert, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Thanks for having us once again. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Robert and Starcore is one of our sponsors. And Robert, I want to disclose to our audience that I am an investor in Starcore as well. Robert, if you'd be so kind as to give us your tickers, your website before we get going.
Sure. The ticker is on the TSX, the senior board. SAM is the ticker, SAM, and SHLVF in the United States. The starcore.com is the website. That's www.starcore.com.
Robert, we will get to some of our audience questions for our audience who are listening. If you have questions for Robert and want to interact through the channel, be happy to ask those for you. You can also reach out to Robert. We will get to those and how you can reach out to him. But Robert, for those who are just tuning in for the first time or just catching up, if you can give us the elevator pitch, the 50,000-foot view of what Starcore is all about.
Great, thanks, Steve. Starcore is a small producer. We produce gold and silver in Mexico. We took over an existing mine 20 years ago. I call it peaks and valleys. We have a various or variation in production due to peaks and valleys with the mine and how the mine is. It's a very large property, which is 12,992 hectares, which we own 100% with no NSRs, no forward sales, nothing is hedged on the property. And up to now, we've really focused on the mine and production, which is about 11% of the property, 11% of the 12,992 hectares, which is about 10 by 13 kilometers. So call that 7 by 9 or 10 miles to put it in perspective. It's a very large property with a lot of potential for it. And so now, with our production, we a year ago or just under, we took over another mine called La Tortilla, which is a silver mine located 2 hours away from the existing facility. Now, why this is important? Building mines are expensive, extremely expensive. If you can use current infrastructure, build it out a little bit to increase the capacity, it pays back big benefits. So that's the idea of La Tortilla. We've applied for our permit. We've received our community agreement, our social license, and now we're in the, well, let's say, the last stages, we believe, with our environmental study. Now, the key with this is that we're going to ship the ore 2 hours from La Tortilla to San Martin, the main mine, which is fully licensed, fully in operation. And so it gives us a big advantage. And the reason that we believe that we're close to the end of the permit application, it was we're not building anything there. Really, what we're doing is extracting ore and shipping ore. Unless in, say, 3 years, 5 years, it becomes a dynamic or a gigantic mine, then we'll build infrastructure there as well. But for the time being, for the first 18 to 24 months, what we see is just shipping the ore to San Martin. So that would be the overview. So every month we produce gold and silver, and I see ourselves as a manufacturer. We run a manufacturing plant. We manufacture gold, silver, ship it to market, we sell it, we create revenue. We reinvest that revenue into the company. Back in 2012, we did a dividend because we had a surplus of cash to shareholders. And that's really what the company is about, is focused on shareholder value.
Robert, I love it. If you can, let's go to the OTCQX. I saw that you guys are now listed there in the U.S. on the OTCQX. Love to get the ticker symbols as well. But what's the rationale for making that move now? Why is it the right time, and what do you hope it accomplishes for StarCorp?
Well, we were a 20F filer before, and the SEC, because we're in production, they made it very onerous, being that we had to file an engineering report every year. And so for the privilege of trading in the United States, it cost me about $200,000 for this engineering report. So I said no. So we withdrew. And then the OTCQX has made it very easy. And so they take all the filings from Canada, take them down to the United States, and post them there. So it's a very easy transition for us, but it allows U.S. investors a much easier access to purchasing the stock. So we're all about making it easy for shareholders to become shareholders and to add to their position, of course. And thank you to the people at the OTCQX for making it really streamlined and easy. Because I don't really believe, Steve, that IBM and StarCorp should file the same, which is really what it is. And so it becomes really, constrictive for a small company to have to go to those filing standards. If we sold $2 billion worth of gold and silver, sure, I wouldn't mind at all. But we were still into the, tens of millions, then no. So that's the rationale behind it. We've been getting a lot of interest from the United States. We are listed in Frankfurt as well, so the European people can buy it easily there, and they facilitate it as well. The ticker in the United States is SHVLF. SHVLF. If you put in StarCorp into the internet and Google StarCorp International Mines, it'll come up. It'll show you both. It'll give you the U.S. symbol. Again, they facilitate it, so it makes it very easy to find and very easy to participate in either Canada, United States, or Germany.
All right, Robert, I want to go back to the airborne survey that you mentioned last time we spoke. You recently kicked off the airborne survey at San Martin. I'd love to go back to what you were hoping to get out of that data. Was it primarily about optimizing San Martin, finding new targets? If you can tell us about that. And I also want to add on to a question from one of our viewers, Keith Nystrom, asked you this question. I'd love to see if you can answer this for him as well. Keith says, can you tell us a bit about the geological expertise you will have working with you to evaluate the results of the aerial surveys and follow on drilling? Do you have a budget for the drill effort, and about how many drill holes
that will support? It's a great question. Yeah, it's a very good question. So I thank the viewer and the shareholder for that question. It gives me a chance to explain. It's science. And what we do is we contract out to, we go through a number of companies or a vetting process to find a group of scientists. In this case, the company happens to be out of Canada, and they specialize in this type of technology. And what we did is we flew 721 line kilometers. So if you take the property, just take a rectangle, for example, and the helicopter flies back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, 721 times or 721 kilometers in order to give us aeromagnetics. And from that, does StarCorp have the people to interpret that? No, that's why we seek outside assistance. If you were Barrick or a big company like that, you might have a half dozen geophysicists or a team of nine, for example. For us, geophysicists is very specialized. So we contracted out to a company which we're extremely happy with, and they have 14 geophysicists of different disciplines within the company. And on top of that, StarCorp has its own geophysical consultant, which we've been working with for about 4.5 years. And he's out of Europe. And so far, he's proven very beneficial to us in reinterpretation. So what we did is that we started out with an IP survey on some previous targets. Now, the difference between IP and the helicopter is IP is cables that are laid on the ground. Energy is shot through the cables, and it's looking for resistivity. It bounces. What does it bounce off of? It bounces off of metallic surfaces. It doesn't tell you what's there. It doesn't tell you grade. It doesn't tell you anything. It just tells you whether there's something there that creates resistivity and bounces back. So we did that survey. And the helicopter survey is they take like a Zeppelin, you know, a balloon underneath like this, underneath the helicopter, and it flies back and forth. It's quite big. And it creates, they put poles in the ground to help the electricity to go into the ground. And it gives you, when you're doing large pieces of property, it gives you a different scale and a different vision, but it's all based on a scientific process of trying to establish new targets. So where are we in that process? Well, we're in the process of interpretation. This is what takes the longest. So the company that we contracted out to has asked us for all previous data for the history of the mine. What we have is about 25 years of history, and we have several surveys, and they're putting it all together. And then they come out with a final report, and then our geophysicist goes through the final report, and he interprets what they have, and then they present it to our team of, I would say, 8 geologists. And in that team of 8, which are employed by us, there's a senior geologist, there's just below him 2 more geologists, there's 2 more technicians, which are data technicians. So do we have the capability, once we have all the data, to identify the drill targets? That's what the process does. Now, the next question was, do we have the budget? Well, we have more than $10 million in the bank, so we do have the budget.
No big deal.
Yeah. Is it a priority? It is priority number one. It is priority number one for us to develop new targets and to drill them and test them immediately. That is a priority for the company. Undoubtedly, exploration and opening up the possibility of bigger parts of the mine is absolutely a number one priority. So we can't tell you how many holes that we'll drill or a budget, but I can tell you it's north of $1 million. Now, here's a key difference between a company that's in, not just StarCorp, any company that's in production and does exploration drilling, as opposed to an exploration company. So for me to go and drill targets that are within, say, a mile of the mine, 2 miles, 3 miles, I call a contractor, and if a contractor has availability, it's probably 10 to 14 days for him to mobilize to the property. Because at the mine, I have first aid, I have 2 ambulances, I have engineers, I have a laboratory, I have support staff, I have accounting staff. I can be drilling in 2 weeks, and I can have my first results in 3 days, 24 hours after the first drill core comes out. If I was an exploration company, the difference is that I've got to mobilize everything to site. I got to get my first aid people. I've got to get my engineers. I've got to get my geologists. I got to get my everybody up to a specific site. And generally, mining isn't kind. They don't place it next to the road. It's far in the bush and far away. In our case, we're really gifted because, or blessed because, we're right near the road. And there's roads throughout the property. And the infrastructure is there. So that is a massive difference for us. Because we want to drill, 2 weeks for drilling. Maybe 3 at the most if the contractor is busy. But we have a contractor working on site with us now, underground drilling. So I can pull him from that and move him very quickly. 36 hours. You know, you're gearing down and you're moving. So it is a big priority for the company, absolutely. And so I appreciate the question, because it's a very important question. So we take the science, we crunch the science gets looked at by professionals in that field, and it gets moved over to us. From that, the drill targets have already been developed. We decide the highest priority, we drill it immediately. and decide which way we're going to go at it. If we're successful on one angle, great. And if not, we try a different angle, different depths. And we have determined, I'm pretty sure that we've determined where we're going to drill. And we've determined that how we're going to get down to the what we call the sweet spot. And should we be successful, we've determined how we're going to transport the ore to the mill. So that's how far planning goes in advance. So is it a priority? Have we thought about it? Do we have the skill set? Yes. And otherwise, we outsource it. And we're very fortunate because we've been around for 20 years and we have a good rapport within our industry. We have a good reputation. We pay our bills. So it allows us access to some great consultants and scientists. So I hope that answers Keith's question, and I hope it helps the viewers understand a little bit of a scientific process we go through and how we're approaching it as a company and what our priorities are. So if we, that is our number one priority at San Martin. And second is still working on the carbonaceous ore, bringing that online up to what it should be. And all these events that are happening in these goals, which that I put out 18 to 24 months, that's 18, 24 months. That's aggressive. It's not, if you think, I go back to manufacturing. If you think, okay, my line number one does gold. My line number two does silver. Or line number one does gold and silver. Line number two is going to focus on silver. Well, to expand the plant and to put in a new production line, it takes time. It absolutely takes time. Time, equipment. Most of the equipment is not on the shelf. And so you have to get it contracted, built for you. And in our case, we like stuff a little bit slightly modified so it fits our existing infrastructure. So for me, it's a work in progress. It's very exciting. We're to be able to look at the property, the whole property has always been my goal. And we can even go back further in time, Steve, and we can go, what makes me so sure that this property is worthy of extra exploration? Well, we've had many expert geologists come to the property, and one determination that they made was what came first. We're talking 450 million years ago, the rocks or the fluid. If the rocks came first and the fluid second, it's game on, which is what happened in our case. And so we know that it's an active site. We've compared it to other mines with similar geology. The worst case scenario is 45 years of mine life. The best case scenario is 110 years and still going. And it's identical geothermal deposit like what we have. Identical geology within Mexico, within the same belt. So that's what makes me confident. And we haven't, and so then people say, well, why haven't you done it in the past? Well, because we are focusing on production. We're focusing on driving to the bottom line because shareholders wanted us to keep producing, and metal prices weren't that great. So it allowed us to stay alive, allowed us to make a little bit of money, but it didn't allow us to be able to look at the whole property and to be able to do work on developing other parts of the mine, which we're doing now.
Robert, I spoke with someone earlier, I think last week, and I asked them, you know, what do you look for in a company? And one of the things the first thing he mentioned was leadership. So people with track record. And one of the main things he looks for is someone, I forget exactly how he phrased it, but he said someone with skin in the game. It's basically someone whose wife is going to divorce them. If you know, they burn the boats and they want to make sure that this is going to happen, succeed no matter what. I don't know if how you feel about that, if that's your philosophy, but what would you address? What would you say to that gentleman on, you know, what gets Robert up in the morning? Like, if you can talk about either how invested you are, either through finances or time, or, you know, what, why should people invest in Robert Eadie?
Well, 20 years ago, Steve, we bought the mine. I raised the money, $26 million U.S., some in debt, which I really don't like debt, but I had a $13 million U.S. dollar mortgage from a bank in London. We survived the financial crisis. by the smallest hair of our chinny chin chin. And the reason why, I had every penny invested myself, and everyone I knew was an investor. People said, well, just throw in the keys. It's okay. This, you know, because one of these worldwide events, financial crisis happens, it's okay to throw in the keys. And I said, no, I see no reason. We're making our payments. We're doing everything. I'm carrying on. I'm one of the largest shareholders. And what makes a difference for me as an investor in other companies, and was something I always look for, every share that I own has been bought. I've received no bonuses in shares, no vend-ins, no free shares, zero. Everything's been bought. And you can see by the last private placement, we did one on its own. It was the CFO and myself. At times we've gone without paychecks. Everyone else has been paid, and senior management has deferred payment because we've been in a tight spot. So I really am committed to making it work. And I rarely talk about it, but I demonstrate it all the time. So for me, is it important to have skin in the game? 100%, particularly in mining. I mean, after the crisis, I moved down to the mine. My family was in university, or my kids and stuff, so it allowed me to move down to Mexico and be close to the mine. So I felt that I needed to monitor it and to be there to answer questions, to be there to protect the asset of the shareholders. So that's what I did. So am I willing to do that again? Absolutely. Am I willing to do whatever it takes to make StarCore a success? I believe I am. Do I believe that I have the talent to do it and the skill? I believe I do, to a certain point. At a certain point, after we get larger than, you know, 1,000 people or 1,500 people working for us, it's time for me to bring somebody else in. And if you look at history, I've brought different people in at different times who've assisted us. So I'm open to anything that moves the dial forward on behalf of shareholders. Being one of the largest ones myself, I have to keep that in perspective as well. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Robert, the other thing you and I have talked about in the past is, like, you know, insiders basically selling their stock is like a red flag. Do you have any concerns with StarCore? If you can tell us a little bit about that, if you are able to disclose.
Oh, it's public information. You see, I haven't sold a share in 20 years. I did exchange shares for warrants, but that's more housekeeping. And in Canada, and I can't speak for the United States, but in Canada, we have to report, even if you shift shares from a retirement account, what's yours called, a K-401 or your retirement? No, in the 401k. United States. Yeah, 401k. So if I shifted from regular stock into a 401k, I've got to report it. So for here, it's called an RRSP, Registered Retirement Savings Plan. If I move stuff into there, what you do for tax purposes, I have to report it as a sale. But it goes from one account to the other account, because it's a government thing. But I haven't sold a share in 20 years, and I don't intend to until I reach the finish line.
Robert, thank you for that. I want to build up on the rapport, the importance of rapport that you've been talking about. You know, recently you formalized your social license or community agreement to operate in La Tortilla. You know, how significant is that? You know, what does it say about your approach with your community where you live or where you guys work?
Many of the people have worked for us or still do work for us. We have a very good reputation amongst the people within, say, a 50-kilometer range of the mine who know us. We have a good reputation with the government. We're known. We're a known entity. But in any of these, because we're a foreign company, you're a little bit of a target for cash. So somebody sees, you know, say, StarCore, and they realize it's a public company, well, the price is doubled. So that's kind of standard anywhere, you know, and it doesn't matter which country you go to. But interaction with community is very good, and close to San Martin, the interaction is gotten very good. And so it's all people, Steve, and we can do the best that we can. And it depends on the people on the other side. So, you know, we've learned over the years. We've learned, you know, with different approaches. We've learned dealing with the community, as everybody does. You know, we've made some very positive moves. We've made what we thought were positive moves, which the community showed in the beginning it was positive, but then they kind of laughed it off. And, you know, we built a playground, and we thought that was very good. And we had actually some Canadian officials who helped us christen it or bless it to the community. And then when rainy season came, they took the rubber mats and they filled in the potholes in the village with the rubber mats, which are supposed to protect the children. So that was like a smack in the face, but it told me, okay, because we gave it. Now, if the community was invested in it, that's a different subject. So we're about to solve a problem for the community with water. And we know what it is. We know why it is. We are fortunate. Again, we hired a couple of people from the Ukrainian war. And one of them is a water specialist, and he worked in a nuclear plant for 20 years, and his formal position was water quality. So he's a gem. So I sent him over to the village to figure out what was going on. So we know what's going on and why it's not working. It's infrastructure, and we could fix it for them, but that wouldn't benefit us. And it wouldn't benefit the community because they wouldn't understand it. So we're charging them 25% of what they currently pay as a fee. And without them knowing, that's going into a community fund separate from our funds. And when they come and they ask for help, we're going to use the community fund to pay for it. So that would be a difference. So do we interact with them? Yes. Is it positive? Yeah, very positive. Are we there to help? Absolutely. You know, to a degree, without being, if I use the phrase used, yeah, we try our best. There's a whole side of humanity, which that, you know, I as a person can't, and as a CEO, can't turn my back on the fact that, you know, I believe we're here when we're fortunate enough to have plenty to help people a hand up, but not a hand out. So
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, is there anything else you'd like to share, or anything we can look forward to for the rest of 26? And how can people follow you guys? If you can give your website, your socials, any way people can contact you with questions.
Sure. Starcore.com is the website. The socials are there under Starcore. You can find it fairly easily. If you go to the website, you can sign up to news releases. The news releases are quite detailed. Sometimes I would say a bit boring because they go 3 pages, but we disclose very much everything, methods, what we're doing, what we're reaching out to, timelines expected within reason. So investor@starcore.com, you'll get your direct questions answered. What do we have to look forward to 2026? Well, I'm very hopeful that the permit will come for La Tortilla. They are working on La Tortilla, the geologists, as we speak. They're sampling, mapping, but by hand, because we don't have a license to use equipment. Everything is lined up, though, to once that license comes, it'll be weeks, not months, before that, you know, when we start working, because the equipment's teed up, the permit for the dynamite's teed up. It's all waiting. So hopefully we'll have that to look forward to. We'll definitely have some drilling to look forward to from San Martin. We'll definitely have the carbonaceous ore coming up to what our goal is for this year. And hopefully we'll have some surprises with our exploration drilling. And as far as anything else to share today, no, Steve, you do a fantastic job of extracting all the information you can out of me, and I ramble on.
No, it's good stuff, Robert. I think people need to meet or know Robert. I mean, it's good to see your personality come out too, and I can tell your passion. And everyone who meets you or talks about you is impressed with you. But just for our listeners, I am an investor, and so I want to be clear that I am not giving investment advice, but I am an investor. Please do your due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Robert. In the case of Keith Nystrom, you can ask us questions as well. We'd be happy to address that to Robert if that's what you prefer. But Robert, it's a pleasure having you. Always fun. Thank you for sharing about StarCorp.
Thanks, Steve. It's always a pleasure. Take care.
All right, be good, my friend.